If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wowee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast on this massive news day where the incredible coaching reign of Alistair Clarkson at least has an end date, end of next season, and the news that Sam Mitchell, his four-time premiership midfielder, will take over in a transfer of power succession plan. I remember famously, Robbo, that this went down with Nathan Buckley and Mick Moldhouse. But there's been some others far more successful. But this is a huge story for 2021.
Yeah, it is a massive story. It's interesting how they broke the news. They called a couple of media people and said they've got a round table come out. Brett McFarlane's gone out for us. And then I was sitting around the table and announced that no formal press conference. But, it's huge news, Mick. Absolutely huge. Everyone's been talking about what Alistair Clarkson's going to do. Sam Mitchell told Collingwood last Friday or Monday that he wouldn't be in for the Collingwood job. Everyone presumed then he would have a role somewhere. Of course, it was going to be at Hawthorn. It still comes as a bit of a shock. And for this succession plan to work, and the Collingwood one went through some really muddy waters because Mick Moldhouse at the end, I don't think Mick wanted to go.
Now, well, winning a premiership put a bit of a dent in the whole thing, didn't it? Whereas Hawthorn won't be winning a premiership, I don't think, next year.
So we've got yet to hear from Clarkson. Well, I haven't heard from Clarkson yet. What does he think about this? Well, you can say he's agreed to it, and clearly he's agreed to it. It was discussed at a board meeting 2 weeks ago. So clearly he's agreed to it, but I wonder if he likes it. And only Alistair Clarkson can tell us that.
Well, they said at the board meeting they wanted, you know, they were of the view that they needed a coach with a 3 to 5 year rebuild.
Sounded like Buck. That sounded like Collingwood with Nathan Buckley, didn't it?
Very, very similar. We should start with what it means for Hawthorn, but I can't help but wonder what it means for all those clubs that are wondering whether they can get Alistair Clarkson as their coach. And there wouldn't be many in the comp that wouldn't be having a look. But is he gettable? What do you want to go start there, or do you want to talk about what it means for Hawthorn?
What it means right now. Today, they've agreed to a succession plan, and Clarkson's coaching out the final year of his contract in 2022, and Mitchell will take over in 2023. Now, if I'm a club looking for a coach, absolutely you'd be contacting Clarkson's people to find out whether he would be interested in leaving a year earlier. For example, Collingwood.
Well, what now? He's not going to do that, surely. He's obviously agreed to coach Hawthorn next year. He can't leave now.
No, you wouldn't think so, but things happen in life, mate. Things change in life.
No, that's not going to happen. This would have been totally bedded down. He's going to give Sam Mitchell an apprenticeship next year, sitting next to him.
What a wonderful apprenticeship that would be.
It would be pretty good, yeah. I mean, he's saying a few weeks ago he's not ready and he will be by the end of next year, but you never know whether he's actually going to be a successful coach or not. But I think it makes sense, and Clarko's been there a very long time. The question in my mind is, does he enter the frame for Gold Coast Suns, Carlton, Collingwood, or just about any other club?
Well, Collingwood can't sweat on Alice to Clarkson. They've got to go after the man that they think can lead Collingwood next year. So, as a matter of time, it's very unfortunate for Collingwood because
it is actually.
If this happened a year later and Bucks went and Clarkson was available, absolutely Collingwood would be talking to Alistair Clarkson. So I reckon Collingwood, unfortunately, they've just they hopped on the little boat, and then the big boat has come along. Give me out on the big cruise and on the big boat. So Collingwood will appoint their coach. Be it Don Pike, be it Mark Williams, be it who else is out there? Some assistant coaches out there. It'd be interesting to see what plays out at Collingwood. But the Carlton one, Mick, the Carlton one's really interesting. They're going through a review at the moment. Teague's position's up for review. He's contracted for next year. Now, that gives Teague another 8 games, another 22 games, because I'm pretty sure he will be coaching Carlton next year, in my opinion.
Well, now, this changes that. I think I agree with you that this buys a bit of time and comfort for Teague. He's won those 2 games. That review's starting to look a little bit more knee-jerk and premature every day, actually. I think they jumped at shadows, the Carlton board there. But from what we're hearing, Collingwood sniffing around Mitchell really brought this to a head. And Clarko was told that they wouldn't reappoint him beyond next year.
How would Clarkson have received that news?
Don't know, but all's well that ends well, isn't it? If he's agreed to stay.
No.
Maybe he agreed with it.
Maybe he did agree with it. He's been talking like a man that was pretty invested in that footy club. He's probably two and a half years into a rebuild. We're starting to see a lot of positives, despite where they are on the ladder.
Well, if I'm Gil McLachlan, Robbo, and Richard Goyder, I'm saying we have to get this guy to the Gold Coast Suns.
I thought you were going to say then we have to get this guy on the AFL commission.
No, that's
what I thought you were going to say. No, we need the AFL needs more good footy people. So the job's available. Like the Stuart Dew, he's contracted. So he's got another year to go. Alistair Clarkson on the Gold Coast. I think they do need a big name up there. I suggested to someone recently, Nathan Buckley would be perfect for the Gold Coast Suns. But Buckley's got his family. Would he leave his boys in Melbourne? Probably not. But Clarkson to the Suns got a nice ring to it. Leon Cameron's been coaching, I think, for 8 years. They're going really well this year, the Giants. So at the end of next year, Clarkson could be available for that job, depending on what happens with Leon and the Giants. You got the Gold Coast Suns and you got Carlton. They're the three clubs who are falling in the window of the availability of Alistair Clarkson.
The other option is he says that he won't coach and just retire a very successful and wealthy man down at his Mornington Peninsula property.
You don't know Clarkson that well. Clarkson's a competitive animal. An animal. If it plays out that Hawthorn didn't want... Now, there's a couple of ways this could have played out, Mick. Clarkson may have gone to the Hawks and said, I'm out. You know, if you want Sam, put him in. Hawthorn could have gone to Clarkson and said, we want Mitchell. Clarkson could be upset about that, but he's agreed to stay. Clarkson might say, well, yep, I'll retire, and just, which he won't do, I don't think. And the other option is, of course, he goes off to coach another club.
But you've always said, and agree with you, that Hawthorn is a place that Alistair Clarkson loves and wants to, you know, he worships, or I love the way he speaks about John Kennedy Sr. and Alan Jeans, you know, those Hawthorn premiership coaches. I don't think he's going to do anything to soil the relationship.
Yeah, probably not. But you just don't know, mate. When human beings are involved and emotions are involved, things can change and get pretty heated up. I'm only giving you, this is just my opinion. I don't know how Alistair Clarkson is feeling right now. He might be really, really happy. I've had my time to move on. Mitchell's too good of an asset to pass on. He should take over the role. But more will play out over the next 24 hours, I'm sure.
It's been a big year, hasn't it? With news stories like departures anyway. Eddie Maguire, Nathan Buckley, Clarkson.
Do I miss any others?
Steve Hocking.
Clarkson gives a year and a half goodbye session. I mean, we're going to be saying goodbye for a long, long time to Clarkson, aren't we?
Well, if he does want to coach on, the spectre of Alistair Clarkson will loom large over so many clubs and boards in this. If he's available, he's almost got 12 months to. It could be like the LeBron James. Was it LeBron who did the decision press conference?
Yes, he did.
I'm not saying that'll happen, but he's got hand.
Got hand. If he's playing, hey, Elvis, Tiger, Elvis. If he's playing poker, he's just been. Hey, hang on. There's a kangaroo. Out there. He's just been delivered. Three aces and two kings. First hand, mate.
He's always been rolling with a good hand.
A better hand now.
The other departure during the week was at your mate Glenn Archer. What's happened there?
No, I think Archer's been looking at moving on from the Kangaroos. He's been there for 5 years. Archer's a guy who's always believed that. It's a really difficult job, football director, because it's, even though it sounds great, you're not at the club. You're not in there day to day. So you're really making overarching decisions from a position in the board table. And he's always believed that role or a role similar like that is, you've just got to have so many hours in the footy department to know exactly what's going on. So, yeah, he pulled the pin after 5 years. Kangaroos loved him for it, for what he did, and he's moved on.
Just want to get your thoughts before we have a quick break about Sam Mitchell. What you in what you know of him and having met him, does he strike you as a steely senior coach that will survive for a long time and win premierships?
It's a good word, steely, Mick. It's a really good word. Sam Mitchell was a competitive beast. Like Clarkson was a competitive beast. He played for keeps, Sam Mitchell. Remember the injection thing he did to the Bombers. I remember, and I wrote a piece about it. Remember when he was running in and kneeing people? And I kept on thinking, this guy's one of the most capable, well-timed players in the competition, and he's got into his game this ability to run in, and the first contact he makes with opposition was his knee. He was a killer, Sam Mitchell. So he'll love the competitiveness. Mitchell's IQ is considered to be elite. Everyone who's played with him considered to be elite. But, I mean, I know plenty of people in footy who've got that ability. The ability we're going to learn about Sam Mitchell, as we learn about all coaches, is how do you deal with a whole group of people? Now, you've got the footy IQ, you've got your experience, and you've got a bit of an aura about yourself, four-time premiership player, that he would with the younger players, no doubt. But has he got that ability to bring a team and bring a club together? And seriously, that's only determined once you get in the job.
Mm. It was always weird when he was replaced as captain, I always thought, by Hodgie. But then again, Hodgie was – but I think that captaincy is different to coaching, isn't it? You don't have to be as friendly. Is that the word?
It's not the word friendly. It's we talk about relationships so much in football. You've got to be able to have a relationship with the group, relationship individually. Be empathetic, be caring, slap them across the not slap them across the face, you know what I mean? Be critical when you have to be critical. It'll be just be interesting to see how he plays out. I would think that most people who played against Sam Mitchell would think he was a smart ass, to be honest. An outstanding player. Absolutely outstanding player.
But all coaches who make it a like Clarkson, they're feisty. They're, as you said, they're scrappers. They're not laconic centre half forwards.
No, they are not laconic centre half forwards. That's a really good point you make, Mick. And Sam Mitchell was feisty. I actually look forward to him coaching. Yeah. I really do, to see what he can do.
He's a favourite son. More I think about it, it really is the same as Buckley. You know, the Hawthorn, they didn't want to lose their favourite son. They had a great coach. And they've been able to come up with – it's a bit different to the Maguire one because that ran for about 3 years and they had a premiership and it sort of didn't work.
This will work. This won't work if it's not smooth sailing, Mick.
Yeah.
That's all. If this is smooth sailing and Clarko's happy and all that sort of stuff, this will be an easy succession plan.
Do you think
will come up is if Clarkson – or it gets out, if it's true, in fact, that Clarkson wasn't happy.
So do you think when you hand over to Ralphie that you'll give him the rails run he needs, the love and the attention?
Mate, there's no love or attention.
You won't give him a single phone number.
Everyone shares anything. Of course, you know, that time comes for it. Time comes for everyone. You just hope there's it's done, you know, with everyone on board. Do we have succession planning? I don't know. I don't think we're in the environment yet for succession planning.
I think you need to start thinking about it.
Tell me. I need to know what's happening behind the scenes.
When we come back from the break, we'll keep on this topic of the planned exit of Alistair Clarkson. Hello and welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Mick Warner with Mark Robinson. And Robbo, an historic night last night for you on AFL 360. You've done, well, over 1,000, haven't you? I remember you had your 1,000th last year or the year before. But Kath Loughnan last night hosted the show. Jared must be away, and she did a brilliant job. And take us through it.
No, it was an interesting night, Mick. And Jared's away on holidays, school holidays. A lot of people take time off in the footy world at this stage of the year. So Jared's gone away with the family for a week, and you know the options were to put Hutto in, which he's done before, co-hosting, but the powers that be decide to give Kath a go. And it was, I've never worked with a female before, and it's maybe a big deal or not a big deal, but it was certainly a bit different at the start. But once we got into it, it just flowed. It was just two people talking about footy and interviewing Longmire and Longmuir and talking about the events. Kath was pretty nervous, though, I'll give you that.
She was TV, it is a very nervous place to go, although she's an absolute gun, and that was. But have you seen her extraordinary exchange with Peter Sumich from last? I think it was a week ago where he drew a blank over a question that she. It was good questioning, actually. He sort of questioned Fremantle's game plan, and then she pressed him on that. And have you seen that audio?
Yeah. What changes? Kat said, "What changes? Or you know, what could?
Yeah, what like what? Yeah.
That was really funny because." I haven't seen it. Kath was telling me about it between the ad breaks when John Longmire and Justin Longmire were coming into the studio and Kath was telling me the story. And then when they sat down, and as you know, you get mic'd up and, you know, fluffed up by the makeup for the last minute touchings. And, and Longmire knew about it. Absolutely, Longmire.
I bet he did. Longmire think that the line had gone dead or that Sumer had just drawn a blank?
I don't know. My understanding, Mick, is the line didn't go dead.
You know, when your mind does, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, because you're a natural on TV. Not everyone is a natural on TV. I mean, I done radio for 10 years, and I feel like I'm quite comfortable doing radio. The rhythm and how you sort of correspond with your co-host and radio craft. You guys call it radio craft, and you know, and I'm quite comfortable there. But TV for me is a really just, I don't know what it is. The lights
why
come on.
Why is that? And just to bring you in here, Kath's a natural on TV as well. Now you can say, I'm a natural. I'm just myself. And I always thought that when you go on TV, I remember when I joined 360, I said, come on, don't send me to voice training. Don't send me to TV school. I don't want to do that. If I'm coming on, if you really want me, I'm just going to come on as I am. And they said, yeah, no problem. So when you just be yourself, I don't think it's a really scary or frightening experience. Yeah, you just be yourself. And when you talk, and Kath came on and she was nervous as hell, right? She was nervous, filling in for Jared. You know, Jared's a pro, absolute pro. Been doing it for 10 years, but she settled right into it. Now, I've watched you on the couch. I've watched you on Talking Footy. I've sat next to you at work for how long? 10, 15 years?
Too long.
When you go on TV...
I know because you're
like a rabbit in the headlights a little bit.
Yeah, because we're not all as comfortable in our own skin as you are, Robert. And look, I'll give you an example. When I used to do on the couch, I would be on for about 5 minutes at the end of the show, and they would just throw news stories at me. You know what's going on with this, and I would
You'd walk around the studio practicing what you were going to say.
Yeah. But not only that, I would also write it down on an A4 piece of paper, right? These comprehensive notes, right? And I remember one time we've gone, so I'd come in after the last ad break.
Who was on?
And those Kingy, Dunstall, and
Jared.
Yeah. And so I'd sit in this chair. In fact, there might have been another one. John O'Brown as well. So, but I'd sit down with this big page of notes, and one time with it, they go 30 seconds, and I hear this, and it was Kingy had ripped, or Dunstall had ripped up all my notes, right? And I've just got this horror, this sort of terror across me. It's like, we're about to go on, and I've got no idea what I've, you know, I was flummoxed. And I thought, I just can't do this.
You're so relaxed every other aspect of your life.
Turned out Kingy had just ripped up a blank page.
Did he?
But anyway, it's some people are suited to it and I'm not.
Yeah, let me say suited to it. You don't have to be good or bad at it. It's just I don't get nervous. I just don't get nervous. I think
you wouldn't now, but what about right at the start, the first time you were on that game day on Channel 7? You must have been pretty ordinary on game day that first time.
It was funny. I did it with Hamish, and it was Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. For some unknown reason, Channel 7 wanted you to get there 2 hours before the show.
You burn a lot of nervous energy for 2 hours.
Yeah, so I get there at 8. I had to get up at 7 on a Sunday morning. I'd go to bed. I can't remember. I reckon I didn't get a wink of sleep. I was so nervous. And you get there and you go through the rundown and then you finally get to the show. At 360, I get there, as you know, I'm not during pandemic. I leave from home, but I used to leave the office at 7, get there at 10 past, make up, go and sit in the chair, don't talk to Jared. And away we go. We don't have any pre-meetings. None. No. Zero. Our pre-meeting is just talking crap in the kitchen with, you know, Sellers and Kingy and Geordie and Ruffy. But did you ever get so nervous on TV that you swore? Now, I have sworn on TV accidentally. Accidentally, of course.
I haven't sworn, but I've seen you with a few gaffes, and There's a few other famous ones I've seen. One with Jared Healy and Anthony Hudson springs to mind.
Hutto. I think they're standing at the MCG. I think it's the MCG or Marv. I think it's the MCG. And Jared said, yeah, the Gold Coast something or others. And Hutto bent over in laughter.
Like, he gave him away, didn't he?
Oh,
he
threw him. Hutto. And then there was another one. There was another one with Alistair Lynch and Dermot. And they'll sit beside each other on the desk. And I think Alistair Lynch dropped a word. Dermot's face, talk about now, he was a poker face. Dermot didn't move. Oh, it was so funny. It was so funny. I got caught twice. Once they caught, I accidentally let it slip twice. One was at an ad break. Mark McClure had been doing a lot of interviews that week, and he came on our show on Wednesday night. And as he walked in, I said something like, God, haven't you been on effing Media Street this week? And yeah, that made the air. And I said something this year about Leon Cameron, that I think he's a really good coach, and I couldn't believe that other people were putting him down, and a really bad word accidentally slipped out. But I think that's what happens sometimes on TV. Yeah. You can't do anything about it. What's your favorite gas?
The one that I remember as a kid, I don't know if you used to watch the Midday Show, but I can't, their names escape me, but the two blokes had a punch up on
the old war veteran.
Just extraordinary. I'll check their names in the ad break, but anyway.
That was on the Mike Walsh show.
Yeah. Now I want to change. Favorite, yeah, go.
Without a shadow of doubt, is Sandy Roberts at the races.
Was that
Leanne Dick? Her name was Leanne Dick. She was the beauty contest winner or something.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
changed the name accidentally. It's quite a laugh. But anyway,
well, what about Jared? Has Jared ever made a? Here we go. It was Ron Casey and Normie Rowe.
That's right. They got up and started throwing punches.
Now I want to change tack to something even more bizarre with the annual rich list that the guys do, Ralphie, Macca, and Jay-Z, which a lot of work goes into that. The top 100 paid players in $50,000 brackets. You know, I think Buddy was on 1.5 mil this year, and I think it goes down about 600 or something. But I think it's better received each year as people become more and more happier to talk about player salaries. But I wanted to get your take on Eddie Maguire's assessment of the story. I've actually see if I can find the audio here, where he said that he thought that it was a dangerous idea that could lead to players being kidnapped. What did you make of that, mate?
I was actually watching that on Friday night last week, and I thought to myself, come on, Ed, stop being so dramatic. Kidnapping? I mean, come on. You know, people already know that they're on big wages. It's not really a custom in Australian crime, is it, kidnapping?
Well, we know that there's 40 players on a list and the salary cap's 13 or 14 million, so everyone can do the maths for themselves. I've actually found the audio, Robert. Let me play you the audio and we'll chat about it in a minute.
This is why you're no longer on TV.
Being the president of a football club, but also being the CEO of a network, when these things come out and the other issues that come with it, the security that's required, the issues of even of kidnapping and pressure like that that comes into play because people don't quite understand the ramifications. So I will say it right now. Put a line through that stupid idea right now before you cause untold hurt to people in the unintended consequence.
So there you go. And Jay Clark checked in with Victoria Police, and as of yet, there has been no player kidnapped as a result of the article.
He did not.
I'm joking, mate.
He really got on his high horse about that, Ed, didn't he? He got
angry, quite
highly strung about that. You know, it's a funny world we live in. You know, Ed's probably worth 10 times what Buddy Franklin's worth.
Well, he was in an article in the Australian last week talking about it. He's so wealthy, he's got a family office with David Evans, the former Essendon chairman.
Is that East Melbourne there?
No, a family office. It's like a very, very rich families are so rich that they almost need an office to run their financial affairs, and it had been announced that Eddie and David Evans had some sort of joint arrangement. I'm not sure of the details, but
he's worked hard, Ed, everything he gets.
But I guess the point was, after that article, was he also a chance to be kidnapped?
I was going to say, how much security has Eddie got around him every time he walks out his front door? As I said, because he's worth 10 times what Buddy Franklin was earning, and Buddy's on 1.5. But it's really interesting, the rich list, and we'll get into some.
Well, you know, yeah.
I'll just get into some team lists at the moment, Mick.
Yeah, salary cap management is the key, isn't it, to the rich list? There were some clubs on there with Carlton blokes, like, you know, and you don't want to single guys out because good on them to get the coin, but there's a lot of players at Carlton on a lot of money who you would argue probably don't justify that salary.
No, probably not. Probably not. No, definitely not.
And that's the game, isn't it? To get your salary.
You've got to manage your cap, and some stage down the track, they might miss out on a player or lose a player because they haven't got the cash. They can fit it all in at the moment, but, you know, if Carlton improves, you know, what's Sam Walsh going to look like in 3 years' time?
How much money is Sam Walsh? A million-dollar player, but, I mean, tell me, I know it's slightly digressing, but the Carlton review's going well. They've won two games in a row, and they're playing with spirit.
Oh, they are, and they're kids. The kids are playing really well.
They might have to abandon that review, but back on that rich list, the other thing that stood out was West Coast.
Oh, have a look at these numbers, mate. Have a look at these numbers. So West Coast, now we know what West Coast are at the moment. They're in a massive, massive hole. They just got slaughtered by Sydney. They have McGovern, $1.2 million. They have Andrew Gaff, 800. Luke Shuey, 800. Ali Yo, 800. Jack Darling, round about 750. Tim Kelly, round about 750. Nick Knapp, $650,000 to $700,000. They are a club that has rewarded their top end talent, and that's fine. That's brilliant. Richmond do the same, mate. They pay their stars, and they've paid them really, really good money. But it would look like that. The era of West Coast dominance is coming to an end, and they've got to try and bring in talent. And I think they're not going to have the money, so they're going to have to go to the draft. They're going to have to bring in kids through the draft. And I think they're in a bit of a hole, West Coast. I really do.
Do you think though that it's a? I don't. I think it's has been a successful era because they won a premiership. One premiership is enough for me. If I was a supporter, I know it's great to go and do what Richmond have done or Hawthorn did, but I reckon most supporters would take one.
Yeah, and they won the 2018 flag, and they were a fantastic team. It's really interesting. It's a really interesting discussion, West Coast. I think they finished top four once in the last 6 years. Top four. Now, most people would suggest that you've got to finish in the top four to win a premiership. Have West Coast really given themselves an opportunity to win more than one flag? I agree with you. One flag. Awesome. Awesome. You know, Melbourne would take one flag in a heartbeat. We remember what happened with the Dogs in 2016. one flag. It can just...
Their rival would take one flag, wouldn't they? I'll tell you what, they don't like Geelong, do they, going to GMHBA?
No, they don't like going down there for some reason. But, yeah, I don't know if they've underperformed West Coast. It's a great squad. It's been a great squad for a while, but it looks like it's now coming to an end. Mick, we'll have a little game here. I want you to put on your list management hat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
What would you do at Richmond?
I wouldn't panic, and I would hope that you can milk one more premiership next year. I'm starting to come around to your way of thinking about this year after that horrendous loss to the Gold Coast. But they sort of reached a tipping point with their injuries. I think there is a hunger issue. There's probably some COVID fatigue. And then there's old players. So what I would do is they haven't played that way except for the Bulldogs game in the second half. Oh yeah, I was concerned in the Sydney loss in round three about. So they've sort of been playing on brilliance, but that pushing forward, that pressure game, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. How do you get it back? That's the question.
Well, I think they've got to reset, and also you can have different. Game plans. I've been worried about their forward entries all year, even last year actually for a while, and they got it right in the finals, and they somehow won that. The stoppages, they became stoppage kings in last year's finals, which is just was just heart, wasn't it? But I reckon the answer is
what would you do?
Reset, not rebuild. So I think Hawley's probably sadly maybe played his last game if his ankle's bad.
And he was superb against the Suns.
Magnificent. He has been a great player, but I think he's probably not going to be there next year. I doubt that Cotchin would be captain next year, and I don't think he should be because he's got to just concentrate on his footy. I don't think he's playing well enough to be captain as well, but some might disagree.
Do you think he would consider retiring?
I don't think he should retire. I don't think he's that.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. I don't know with Koch. He's. I think he's been a magnificent captain. We all know that. I think the demands of COVID last year and his family getting dragged into it.
Huge for all of a lot of Jack Riewoldt as well.
It was huge for Koch and his family. And if Cotchin decided at the end of this year, if he did, hey, I've had great fun. It's been awesome. Thank you. I'm walking away. That wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. I'm not suggesting that I know that he is or he isn't. But, I think he should go on. Who else?
But not as captain. Do you think he should be captain?
If there's next no one up there.
Dylan Grimes. No, I just think with his hamstrings and whatnot, he needs to concentrate on himself, just be a bit selfish. He doesn't need to prove anything to anyone. But the interesting one's Adam Chera, who is available, we hear, wants to come home or is considering coming home. I've never really watched a game that he played and thought, wow, absolute superstar. He's obviously a very good, and you look at his numbers, he knows how to find it.
Yeah, he's a pretty solid player for a young midfielder.
But it'd be a mistake to give up two first-round picks for him if you were Richmond.
Oh, no, that won't be happening. That won't be happening. Two first-rounders?
Well, plenty of clubs have given up two first-rounders. Your club gave up two for Dylan Scheel. Carlton
gave up two for Treloar.
And Beams.
Oh, Beams. No, I don't think Adam Chera is a two first rounder.
But Fremantle would.
Well, you're out of the race then. Unfortunately, you just can't do it. You just can't do it at all. Maybe Fremantle might be looking at a player, maybe. Could come into play. Like if Angus Brayshaw said he was coming home, that's when I reckon people start might start looking at two first rounders. Like, he is a jet. Angus, yeah. I can't wait to watch him of his career. He's a fantastic player. Chera did an interview recently, and he was asked about his contract, and he delivered every cliche that's ever been delivered by someone who's going to leave at the end of the year. Oh, my God.
What are you doing for Richmond?
What if I was doing if I was Richmond? I would so this is the interesting one. I wrote about this about round five, round six. And the questions were asked, could Richmond fans see Jack Revolt in a Collingwood jumper? Right? Or Bash Ahuli back to Essendon for a year. Or Titch Edwards to the Gold Coast to extend their careers. But because at some stage Richmond are gonna have to refresh their list. Now, they've got three examples in this century to look at. Brisbane fell off the perch. Geelong, they never really fell off the perch whatsoever. From 2007 onwards, mate, Geelong have been an amazing football team. And then you've got Hawthorn. And Hawthorn got rid of their superstars to get salary cap. Then they went after O'Meara and they went after Scully and they went after Tom Mitchell. But hasn't really delivered. So if you're going to follow,
I think there's a fourth model in there as well, and that's the Sydney Swans. Up until recently, they were in the eight for 20 years straight.
They were a fantastic team, and what they did, they for about 3 years, they started playing young players, right? And they finished outside the eight a couple of times. It was bad, like really low last year, wasn't it? 13th, 14th.
Yeah,
they started playing young players. It's all about youth, mate. I think it's all about youth. So if I was Richmond, I wouldn't be trading away
those picks. They got
two first rounders and 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be trading them away. I mean, hang on and go again. But
the problem is you've got Lynch and you got Dusty, right? And so you've got to ask yourself whether those kids that you draft will be ready to rumble by the time Dusty and Lynch are at the end of their career. So I don't see it as quite as easy as what you're saying.
No, they'll be tempted.
They will be tempted to go and top this list up.
To get Chera.
And others, yep. And to maybe be – there's a lot of options, and I'm not going to guess which one they'd go. I think I would go what you're suggesting. But Chera would be tempted to get him and others and maybe try and trade a couple.
Right, the Essendon list management had on Adrian Dodoro. Jake Stringer's asked for a four-year deal. Essendon have offered three and incentives. What do you think he's worth the four that Jake's asking, or do you think three's enough with incentives?
Three? What's this, the price, do you know?
No, I don't know the price. I would imagine it's about, with the numbers that Jake's putting up this year, I'd say it'd be about $7 to $7.50 asking price. And I think the Bombers realise that, you know, he's a really, really good player, but he doesn't finish in the best and fairest. He does win games, can be suspect to injury.
Not consistent enough for 4 years.
No, he's not. I like Jake. I've known Jake all through my life and all through my footy life, and he grew up in Bendigo. I know people who know him really strongly in Bendigo and Maryborough. And if Jake doesn't agree to three, if I was Essendon, I'd put him up for trade.
Yep.
I'd put him up for trade. And see, what's Jake Stringer worth then? If Adam Chera, you're suggesting Adam Chera might be two first rounders, what would Jake Stringer be worth?
His best is explosive, but you're not going to get – you might get a late first. Not really my area, though. I don't know. What do you think he's worth?
I mean, he wouldn't go to a lowly team. He'd go to a challenging team. Would Brisbane like him to slot him on our forward flank? Would Richmond entertain Jake Stringer for one of their first rounders and a player for Jake Stringer, and you throw Stringer into the Richmond lineup?
Collingwood on the rebuild, probably not. Geelong have got no room, so they wouldn't be able to take him. Melbourne. Would Jake Stringer be okay at Melbourne?
I think he would.
Yeah, I think he would. But I just think this impasse at the moment, I'm pretty sure it'll get done. But, yeah, the numbers are a fair way apart.
All right, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about the fascinating situation unfolding with Sam Mitchell, Collingwood and Hawthorn.
Okay, mate, we'll let it go. Big day, big week, been a big year. More to come. We'll talk to you next week. See you, pal.
See you then, mate.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.